Chapter 3. The long offshoot behind the house had been the servants' quarters in grander days. Here, everything was dark and narrow and pokey, as if in deliberate contrast with the front. Farnan led me to the first of several doors which opened off a passage, where the smell of ether and carbolic hung on the air. "This," he said, with a secret gleam in his eye, as though he were about to unveil the mysteries of Aladdin's cave, "is the dispensary." The dispensary was an important place in the days before penicillin and the sulfonamides. Rows of gleaming Winchester bottles lined the white walls from floor to ceiling. I savoured the familiar names. Sweet spirits of nitre, tincture of camphor, chlorodyne, formalin, salammoniac, hexamine, sugar of lead, linimentum album, perchloride of mercury, red blister. The lines of labels were comforting. I was an initiate among old friends. I had painfully accumulated their lore, ferreting out their secrets over the years. I knew their origins, actions, and uses, and their maddeningly varied dosage. The examiner's voice. "And what is the dose for the horse, and the cow, and the sheep, and the pig, and the dog, and the cat?" These shelves held the vet's entire armory against disease, and on a bench under the window I could see the instruments for compounding them, the graduated vessels and beakers, the mortars and pestles, and underneath in an open cupboard the medicine bottles, piles of corks of all sizes, pill boxes, powder papers. As we moved around, Farnan's manner became more and more animated. His eyes glittered and he talked rapidly. Often he reached up and caressed a Winchester on its shelf, or he would lift out a horse ball or an electuary from its box, give it a friendly pat, and replace it with tenderness.
"Look at this stuff, Harriet," he shouted without warning. "Adrovan. This is the remedy par excellence for red worms in horses. A bit expensive, mind you, 10 bob a packet. And these gentian violet pessaries. If you shove one of these into a cow's uterus after a dirty cleansing, it turns the discharges a very pretty colour. Really looks as though it's doing something. And have you seen this trick?"
He placed a few crystals of resublimated iodine on a glass dish and added a drop of turpentine. Nothing happened for a second, then a dense cloud of purple smoke rolled heavily to the ceiling. He gave a great bellow of laughter at my startled face.
"Ha ha! It's like witchcraft, isn't it? I use it for wounds in horses' feet. The chemical reaction drives the iodine deep into the tissues."
"It does?"
"Well, I don't know, but that's the theory, and anyway, you must admit it looks wonderful. Impresses the toughest client."
Some of the bottles on the shelves fell short of the ethical standards I'd learnt in college, like the one labelled Colic Drench, and featuring a floridly drawn picture of a horse rolling in agony. The animal's face was turned outwards and wore an expression of very human anguish. Another bore the legend, "Universal Cattle Medicine," in ornate script. "A sovereign remedy for coughs, chills, scars, pneumonia, milk fever, gargit, and all forms of indigestion." At the bottom of the label, in flaring black capitals, was the assurance, "Never fails to give relief." Farnan had something to say about most of the drugs. Each one had its place in his 5 years' experience of practice. They all had their fascination, their individual mystique. Many of the bottles were beautifully shaped, with heavy glass stoppers and their Latin names cut deeply into their sides. Names familiar to physicians for centuries, gathering fables through the years. The two of us stood gazing at the gleaming rows without any idea that it was nearly all useless, and that the days of the old medicines were nearly over. Soon they would be hustled into oblivion by the headlong rush of the new discoveries, and they would never return.
"This is where we keep the instruments," Farnan showed me into another little room.
The small animal equipment lay on green beige shelves, very neat and impressively clean. Hypodermic syringes, whelping forceps, tooth scalers, probes, searchers, and in a place of prominence, an ophthalmoscope. Farnan lifted it lovingly from its black box. "My latest purchase," he murmured, stroking its smooth shaft. "Wonderful thing.
Here, have a peep at my retina."